Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I'm going to be reading out of Luke 8. I'm going to go through verses 22 through 26. I'm going to read out of the NLT, and you guys can read it here on the screen. It should be on there, Luke 8, 22 through 26. All right, here we go. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. Somebody say amen. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly, everyone say suddenly. Suddenly the storm stopped, and all was calm. Then he asked them, Jesus being, "Where is your faith?" Somebody say yikes. Yikes. The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. When he gives a command, he, even the wind and the waves obey him. All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this time that you've given to us to dive deep into your word. God, I pray for each and every person in this room that you'd open the ears, hearts, and minds of them, God. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me. Lord, I pray that this word would go forth, that I would not be a hindrance, but Lord, I would be a vessel of your spirit and of your word. And Lord, that you would touch the hearts of your people who are gathered today here to learn more about you and your word in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Why don't you high five about three people before sitting down? Oh yeah, here we go. So real quick for you guys, I'm a part of the media team, so I kind of want to like juke out the cameras. Ooh. Okay, so real quick for you guys, has anyone in here ever been a part of like a massive storm, like a hailstorm? Just raise your hand. A hailstorm, a rainstorm, a snowstorm. If you live here, you basically have to go through windstorms like every single year. So I have a quick story about myself and Minister Daniel. We are best friends, but whenever he was living here, we hung out a lot. And one time we decided we were going to go to Anchorage and go to Texas Roadhouse and get some dinner. Somebody say amen. Texas Roadhouse, man, those rolls are blessed. Oh my goodness. I can eat like 17 of those things right now. But we decided to go to Texas Roadhouse. We ate our food, and then we decided we're going to dip and go back to Wasilla. And out of nowhere, I kind of felt like the disciples in this, out of nowhere, a snowstorm just came down and like just slapped us while we were driving. We are just getting to the flats, and the snowstorm just goes woof, right in, and we cannot see 10 feet in front of us. I am kind of freaking out. I can really be with the disciples in this one. I'm like, Minister Daniel, are we going to be okay? And I look over to Minister Daniel, and he's just like cool as a cucumber. He doesn't care at all. He's got his hazards on. He's just going down. And I felt like I was in Ice Road Truckers season 4, man. I was just like going through it, speaking in tongues. I was getting real close to Jesus that time. But as I looked over and I saw Minister Daniel, he was just calm as a cucumber. You want to know why? Because he's been through a couple storms, and he was driving. And as soon as I looked over to him, I had a peace come upon me because I saw someone who was confident, someone who knew what they were doing. And because of that, it flooded me with peace because I had someone who was the driver of the car and knew how to control the situation. And in the text, we can see the disciples did not know that Jesus could control the situation. Somebody say yikes. Yikes. We can see in our text that disciples did not look to the one who, they didn't look to Jesus, but Jesus literally could have just stopped the storm like he did before all of this ruckus came. So they were focused on the storm and not the one who could control the storm. And it's the same thing in our lives sometimes is we focus on the storms, we focus on the problems, we focus on the things that we're going through. And I'm not asking you to just totally push down all your problems. That's not what I'm asking you to do. What I am asking you to do is give your problems to God. He is more than able to hold those problems, take them, and figure them out for you. Somebody say amen. We can control, we can have storms in our lives and that we can't control sometimes. Maybe it's a financial storm. Maybe you got laid off of your job and now you have to just come up with money. You have to come up with rent. Guess what? Jesus can bring you through that storm. Jesus is more than able. His streets are paved with gold. He can bring you through that storm. Maybe it's a physical storm. Maybe you got struck with some sickness, or maybe a family member of yours got struck with sickness. Guess what? It is in God's will for them to be healed. That's what it says in God's word. By Jesus' stripes, we are healed. So we know that God can bring us through these storms. But unfortunately, some of us still can focus on the storms and not on God. Somebody say yikes. Which leads me to my sermon title. It's going to be Speak to the Storm. Everyone say speak to the storm. One more time. I want you guys to say it with a little bit of umph. Speak to the storm. Great job. Great job. You parents are like, what is happening right now? Hallelujah. Welcome to King's Youth. So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of context for the text that we just read. This is one of my favorite things in the Bible, favorite stories in the Bible, but Jesus basically just got done ministering to a bunch of people, healings, miracles, all of these things happen, and he's like, yo, we got to peace out. Disciples, get me a boat. We're going to the other side. So the disciples follow Jesus, not knowing what was going to happen. So one thing I want you to look at is that you can see in here, in the text, that this trip was God's idea. And God being all-knowing, he knew this storm was going to come. I want you to put that in the back of your mind, that this trip was God's idea. So they go with Jesus, and Jesus falls asleep. Somebody say amen if you love a Sunday afternoon nap. Amen. Jesus literally had a Sunday afternoon nap. He ministered, he got in a boat, and he took a nap. So that's how we know naps are from heaven. So then Jesus falls asleep, the storm comes, and the disciples freak out. They're like, what is happening? There's water going in the boat. And you know it's a real storm because they were professional fishermen with the disciples. Some of the disciples were professional fishermen. So if they were freaking out, that's how you know it was quite the storm. So they wake up Jesus, and I can just imagine them. They're kind of freaking out. God, do we wake him up? God, I don't know. Do we wake him up? Dude, we're about to drown. We're about to. Just wake him up real quick. So they wake up Jesus. He stands up, and I can just see him going, "Ugh, you just woke me up from my nap. In the name of myself, go away." And then they went away. I can just see Jesus being kind of like, in a way, frustrated with the disciples. Like, why couldn't you guys do this? I've given you the power. But they wake Jesus up. He rebukes it and it leaves. And the disciples are now in pure just awe of what Jesus just did. And this story is so profound that it's in all three of the synoptic gospels, that being Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Shout out to KSM. Matthew, Mark, and Luke they're called the synoptic gospels. So that means this story was so profound that they put it in all three of those gospels. So it must have been impactful for the disciples. This incident also confronted the disciples on a couple things that they maybe weren't aware of. One of the things was, who is Jesus? So Jesus, I don't know if you guys knew this, Jesus is a little more than just one of those lowercase gods. The disciples did not know that Jesus was the one who made the wind and the waves. The disciples did not know that that Jesus was the answer to their problem, but the disciples did not know that. In the boat with the disciples was the one true King of Kings. And they were faced with the fact that they now had a realization that Jesus was the King of Kings, that they had to probably repent of all the times that they didn't treat him like the King of Kings. And another thing that the disciples are confronted on is the importance of their faith. The disciples are confronted by Jesus who says, "Where is your faith?" Oh my gosh, what a conviction punch right in the gut that would have been. Jesus himself said, "Where's your faith, dude? I literally told you you could do this." And you're just like, "Oh, I'm sorry, Jesus. I'll do better next time." Imagine that. But if they truly knew who was in the boat with them, if they truly knew who stepped in the boat with the disciples that was just taking a nap behind them, they would have been at peace. They would have been calm. They would have probably rebuked the storm, and Jesus would have been still napping. They were with Jesus all this time, but they still couldn't figure out that Jesus was the Lord. Jesus was the one in the scriptures hundreds of years that was told to their ancestors that he is the way, he is the truth, that this man is God in robes of flesh. Yet they still did not fully believe who Jesus was. Somebody say yikes. Jesus is saying here that your trust in me is the gauge on how power is released in any situation you find yourself in. If you do not think God can rescue you out of a situation, guess what? You will not be rescued out of that situation by God. But if you believe that God is a God of more than enough, that he can heal you, that he can save you, that he can pour out blessings upon you, guess what's going to happen? You there are going to receive your blessing. Somebody say amen. And I could kind of see Jesus being surprised. Like I said, why didn't you guys rebuke it? Come on, y'all. What are we doing here? What are we doing? But it's just like us sometimes, and I'm preaching the choir to myself. Sometimes I find myself like, "Lord, how am I going to pay for this month's electrical bill? Oh, God." And then I have to remember, oh, his streets are literally paved with gold. This is not a problem for him in any way, shape, or form. And I have to come to the realization, as a lot of us do, that we have to tell ourselves to shut up sometimes. We have to say, you know what? God will provide for me no matter what my stupid flesh says. And the disciples, unfortunately, did not do that. So for tonight, I'm going to be hitting on four ways to make sure your vision is on Jesus during the storm. So the first thing I want to do with you guys, if you're in a storm, you can write these down. And maybe if you're not, just write them down anyways. So because guess what? Storms are going to come. And you can use these as a blueprint on how to get through these storms. So number one is ask some questions. Am I in this storm because of God's will? Or am I in this storm because of my own will? Somebody say yikes. Storms, which a lot of the times will signify trials in the Bible, will come as a believer. Not they might come, they will come. In John 16, 33, it says, "I have told you this so that you may have peace in me. Here on this earth, you will have many trials." How many trials? How many trials? "Many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." Jesus told us trials will come. Trials will come. Tribulation will come. Sickness will come. But guess what? That is where you need to make sure that you know where you stand as a believer. If you believe that sickness is for some people, some people get sick, it's sometimes in the will of God. No, it's not. Sickness is not in the will of God. It says, "By his stripes, we are healed." Some of you guys need to break that sickness spirit off of you. And maybe it's even poverty. Maybe poverty's been holding your family down. Maybe poverty is still at work in your life. Guess what? That is a storm. That is a trial. And just like Jesus did, he has given us the ability and the right as believers to say to that storm, "Get up and go and never turn back." Jesus told us storms will come, but this opposition can sometimes be because we are doing the will of God. Pastor Daniel says, when the will of God happens, opposition will come. The devil does not like people being saved. The devil did not like 3,000 people coming into this building. But guess what? We don't care, devil. You suck. So that's what it says, that whenever God is there, whenever the word is preached, whenever miracles, signs, and wonders happen, that's when the devil will try his hardest to make sure that people do not get saved. But we need to identify which storm it is. And whenever I say ask questions, this is what we need to ask questions about. Which kind of storm is this? Because like I said, it could be a storm of the devil's opposition on our life because we're doing the will of God, or it could be a storm because we might have made some stupid decisions. Somebody say yikes. So, because like you can see in the Bible, Jonah was not in a storm because of God's will in his life. He ran away from God's will, and that look where it put him. It put him inside of a fish, and then we got VeggieTales because of it. Somebody say amen. Some of us in this room, I love VeggieTales. I'm going to make sure my kids watch VeggieTales so then I can say, hey, this is what I grew up on. So this is what they forced me to watch. So we can see that it shows us in the word that we as believers and non-believers can plant bad seed in our life with our mouths, with our actions, just like Jonah did. Jonah planted bad seed by running 180 degrees away from the will of God. And look where that got Jonah. And it's the same thing in our lives. I've planted bad seed in my life. And I can tell you from personal experience, it's placed me in other realms that I did not want to be in. So what do you do when you have seed that's bad, planted bad seed? Very simple. You repent quickly. You pray for the bad seed to die, and you replace it with good seed, with God's will, with obedience to his word, with all of these things like prayer, like fasting, like just diving so deep into God's word, saving souls. That's how we can replace the bad seed in our life. But there are some storms that will come by doing the will of God. This building project had a couple storms because we were doing the will of God, and the devil hates when people do the will of God. I was not here. I kind of find it funny where we're like, we finished the building, and I got here like a month before. Like, yeah, we did it. It was all us. Let's go. But I can see stories, or I can hear stories from Pastor Daniel, from Pastor Kirsten, of the crazy things that happened with this building project, with the spirit of delay on the windows. Oh, Jesus, help us. I wasn't even a part of that, and I can feel it in my spirit. The delay of the windows, the windstorm, all of this freezing stuff with all the pipes, and I don't even know. Minister Hankers right now is praying in the Holy Spirit. I don't know where he is, but he is interceding right now. This building project was in the will of God, and you can see that the devil did not want it to happen. So this storm that came upon us with this building project was not because of our wrongdoings, but actually because of us doing the will of God. But you must, as a believer, when storms come, when those things come, when you identify what storm it is, you need to take action immediately. If it's a storm that you put yourself in, get your bootstraps on and just go ahead and get to church. Get to Jesus. Repent of your ways, for he is faithful and just to forgive you. Repent. Get back into the church. Get back into what God has for you. And if it's a storm of doing God's will, guess what? Put your head down. Start praying in tongues. Keep rowing, because the man in the boat with you can take you through the storm. Can I get an amen? Amen. The man in the boat with you will show you the way out of the storm. And I love this verse that simply says, resist the devil and he will flee. Not he might flee, not he'll only flee on Fridays, not on Sundays. He has to flee. So when you resist him during those storms, when the devil tries to put sickness on you and you say, no, devil, go away. I am healed, that you sent forth your word and you healed my diseases, God. The devil has to go. The devil has to go. So what we have to do here is we need to make sure that we identify what kind of storm it is. And another one of the questions that we need to ask is Jesus in my boat. Is Jesus in your boat? Of course, the boat signifying your life and your walk with Jesus or maybe without Jesus. And some of you in this place might not have Jesus in your boat. Maybe you haven't even said the sinner's prayer before. Guess what? We are going to make sure that we give an opportunity for each and every person in this place to make their lives right with Jesus. But is Jesus in your boat? Some of you guys in here just left Jesus on the shore. Like, oh, you're taking too long, Jesus. I got my own things to do, and I got to go. I got to do this thing. I got to do this thing. And Jesus is like, okay, well, see you later. Good luck in the storm. Come back to me whenever you shipwreck. See you in a couple years. So that's what Jesus is saying, because he wants to be in our boat. If Jesus isn't in your boat and leading and guiding you, you're in deep trouble. I'm telling you that right now. I, even as a pastor's kid, I don't want to get into this because I got a little bit of time left. But my part of my testimony is that I, as a pastor's kid, totally rejected church, basically. I was still coming. I put the pastor kid smile on my face. I would hug all the church aunties and say, oh, it's so good. But I'd go back to school and I'd just sin like a sinner, and I would just do the things that were not right. I was not living for God. Jesus was not in my boat. And because of that, it led me down a road of depression, of anxiety, of addiction. And it's because I did not have Jesus in my boat. It's because I did not have the Lord and Savior with me is why I went through those things. I want Jesus to be in your guys' boat. I don't want you to go through the things that the devil has planned for you, because God says that his plan for you is to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. That's the plan of God in your life. And of course, the devil's plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. But thank God that Jesus is in my boat. I want you to raise a hand and say amen if Jesus is in your boat. Come on, come on. The last question, who besides Jesus is in your boat? Who is in your boat? Who are you traveling with? Who do you have besides you? Because I'm going to tell you right now, some of your relationships in your life can be the determining factor if you're going to make it through the storm or if the storm's going to take you whole. I don't know how many times my dad told me whenever I was a little boy, you go, son, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Any kids in the room heard that before? Any parents said that to their kids in the room before? Yeah, it's a pretty common saying. You wanna know why? Because it's true. It is true. Shocking. It's true. The people around you are going to influence you. The people you spend time with every single day, you are going to become like them. So who's in your boat? Who's around you? Who are you letting influence you? Because of course we can use this as a like, oh, I'm just gonna hang out with my friends. I love Jesus, but they're just gonna smoke weed and I'm just gonna pray in tongues on the side. No. That'll keep up for about 2 weeks and then we'll see you in transformations in about a month. We need to make sure that we're not putting ourselves in positions for us to fail. Of course, there's times to go to those things and speak the word of God. Go to those things and speak salvation. But the people that you are with on a daily will, not might, they will influence you. So who is in your boat? A great place to find great people to be in your boat is life groups. Get a part of a life group. Join a team. Because that there is a place where you can find people to build you up as you are walking with Christ. So those are just a couple questions we need to ask. And another thing is, if you are in God's will and a storm comes, it's the devil's plan to try and stop you from completing God's will. Just like I said about this building project, we knew we were in God's will because there was opposition. There was things put up in front of us that we had to deal with. We had to deal with. And of course, Pastor Daniel, such an amazing man of God, Pastor Karen, amazing woman of God, led us through those times. God's plan. The cool thing about this is Of course, you can see the storm coming down, and you can get kind of distracted on what Jesus' plan was to go through the storm. Of course, his plan was to teach the disciples a lesson. But on the other side of the lake, it's a giant lake, but the other side of the lake was a man that Jesus was going to pray for, and the demons were going to leave him. So the devil saw that. The devil saw the horizon of what Jesus was trying to do. And look what he did. He placed a storm in the way and tried to stop Jesus from doing God's plan, from bringing salvation to a man who was demon-possessed. When you are doing the will of the Lord, the devil will try to stop you. But last time I checked, the devil's defeated. Can I get an amen? Last time I checked, we are not fighting a war that is waging right now. We are fighting a war that has already won. Can I get an amen? We are with the one who has conquered death, hell, and the grave. We do not have to worry about what the devil says. You want to know why? Because what God says always trumps what the devil says. Whatever God says always trumps what God says. Because God is truth. The devil is lies. If the storm is stopping you from doing the will of the Lord, you need to do exactly what Jesus did. You need to stand up and you need to speak to that storm. Speak to the storm of depression. Speak to the storm of anxiety. Speak to the storm of lost family members. Speak to the storm of broken relationships. Speak to the storm of poverty. All of these things are storms in our lives that the devil is trying to weigh us down so we can't fulfill the plan and will of God. But God, Jesus himself, has given us the ability to overcome each and every storm that comes our way. God's will be done. God's will be done. When you speak to that storm and tell it to leave, and you believe in your heart that it happened, guess what? God's will be done, and that storm has to go. God has given us every right to speak to the devil and tell him to get right back down to hell for whence he came. Another thing is, don't be uptight. Everyone say, don't be uptight. Why don't you just click this a little bit. Just stretch a little bit. Don't be uptight, y'all. Don't be uptight. We're having fun in church. Someone just yawned. I love that. Oftentimes, we freak out over storms. I'm speaking to the choir, like I said, to myself. I'll freak out. Oh, in the Lord, I'm going to pray for groceries. Oh, my gosh. What is going to happen? When the man who could provide all the groceries I could ever need is right here next to me. And that can go for every single situation in your life, not just my groceries, not just my chicken tenders with Cajun seasoning. Somebody say amen. Man, I'm going to have some of those when I get home. Let's go. It can go with every single situation in your life. Every single situation. Think of a situation that might feel impossible. Guess what? God has a plan for you to get through that situation. When God is with us, who can be against us? He is the one and true King. Speaking to the youth now, if you get that in your mind at this age, I'm going to tell you right now, revival, more of a revival that's already happening, will come to this youth ministry, will come to this valley. Because you guys are strategically placed in your neighborhoods, in your friend groups, in your schools, to speak life into where there is darkness. The devil has had a hold over the schools for so long. And I am sick and tired of that. And we need a generation that will rise up and say no more to the woke agenda. And this is the exact storm that we need your guys' help. You youth, you kids that are going to be youth here soon. We need your guys' help to stand on the word of God and speak to that storm and say, get behind me. Leave now. Which leads me to my next point, that we need to rise up in faith and in Christ's authority and power. If I could have keys, please. Thank you so much. I've been talking about it, but Jesus has all the power. He doesn't have half the power. He doesn't have a quarter of the power. He didn't steal just death. He stole the keys, the death, hell, and the grave. He has all of the power. So whenever we realize that, it brings us to life. Minister, or soon to be Minister Nathan, was talking about how there was a woman that just got saved and that was just straight up on fire. And I love to see that. And it's because she believes the word of God. She believes in her heart that, guess what? Jesus saved me so I can save other people. And it's the same way with the power of God in our lives. In Luke 10, 19, it says, "Look, I have given you authority over all the powers of the enemy." How many powers of the enemy? All the powers of the enemy. "And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you." When you are fully convinced of the word of God, nothing in hell can stop you from what God has planned for your life. Nothing can stop your family of what God has planned for your life. Nothing can stop your generation of what God has in plan for your life, because you are fully convinced that you have all the power. Because it says in here, Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And Jesus has given us that authority. It says in the word that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in each and every single one of us. That means resurrection power is in you right now. Power to defeat the devil, continually defeat the devil. So we need to make sure that we take that authority, that we talk to those storms, that we tell those storms to go, because we have the authority to do it. And like I said, so many times we can get so fed up and caught up with the storms in our lives. And that's just the devil's plan to slowly get us away from God, to where we're worrying about the problems more than the one who can take us out of the problems. And even as a young minister, I haven't been in the ministry long, but I've seen it happen in youth that they're on fire. They're doing amazing things. They are declaring healing for their family. And then they get a little bit of compromise in their life. They get into a relationship that's not pulling them, that's pulling them down and not pushing them up to Christ. And just slowly, they begin to trickle away from God, trickle away from the church. And this isn't just for the youth, but I've just seen it in the youth. The devil's tried it with all of us. I can tell you right now, it's the devil's plan. I'm not gonna give any props to the devil, but he's been doing it for a while. He's not going to just randomly show up and say, "Hey, you shouldn't serve God anymore." And you're like, "Oh, yes, okay, I'm on board with that." No, he's going to slowly get you to not serve God, slowly get you to compromise in areas of your life. And that is exactly when we need to speak to this storm of the devil and tell him to shut up and get back down to hell. We need to take that authority that God has given to us. I'm so thankful at Kings that we have been taught by our amazing pastors the authority that God has given to us. But talk is cheap. We can talk about the authority of God so much, but we need to make sure when we get in those situations, when the rubber meets the road, that we actually use the authority that God has given to us. I can tell you even stories about my life where I'm talking about all of these things, and I don't know about any preachers in the room, but a lot of the times whenever I'm preparing a message, the devil will try and hit me with what I'm preparing for. And it's like, "Devil, are you stupid? I'm literally learning how to defend you on this topic. What are you, dumb?" Oh wait, he is dumb. So in my life, I have these things that come upon me. If it's whatever it is, if it's a depressive spirit that tries to come upon me when I'm speaking about depression, I have to, this isn't a maybe, I have to take control of that thought. I have to take control of that emotion, because if I do not, it'll run rampant in my life and slowly cause me to become more unanointed, to not lead with grace, to then fall and leave a youth ministry in a place where it shouldn't be. But that is not gonna happen, and I do not want it to happen in your guys' lives either. as believers, when we're going through these storms, of course, we need to figure out if it's a storm that we're going through because we're doing God's will, or if it's a storm that we put upon ourselves. But despite the storm, we need to take authority over that storm. People's lives are on the line if we do not take authority over this storm. There's people in your life, I tell my youth this almost every single Sunday. You are positioned to be maybe the only Jesus some people will ever see in their life. And it's not just true for youth, it's true for every single person in this room. That homeless man that you see driving to work, that greeter at Walmart, that person who bags your groceries. Life is not promised to us. They could breathe their last breath. But if we are not willing to push against the storms and follow God's will in our life, we could lose out on an opportunity to save a soul. And before I pass it on to Pastor Kirsten, I want to ask you tonight, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I'm talking about these storms. I'm talking about Jesus in my boat. I'm talking about the God that can pull us through the storms. But if you do not have Jesus in your boat, there is no promise that you will get through the storm that you're in right now. No promise. If everyone could stand with me, I want to ask you this question tonight. Because in the Word of God, in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That means every single person in this room has sinned. Pastor Kirsten has sinned once or twice in his life. Dr. Morocco has sinned once or twice in life. I know that's kind of crazy. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And another verse in Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." So we deserved death for our sins. We all sinned, so all of us deserved death. But God's gift to humanity was Jesus. God in robes of flesh coming to this earth, living a sinless life, dying a sinner's death, and raising again 3 days later. That is God's gift to us, is that salvation through Jesus. There's another verse that says, "He is faithful and just to forgive us." But we need to want to be forgiven. We need to want to have this forgiveness. We need to have faith to believe that God actually will forgive us. And another verse in Romans 10:9, it says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that he died and rose again from the dead, you shall be saved." But a part of that verse stuck with me whenever I was reading it not too long ago. We pray these sinner's prayers. Some of us have prayed thousands of sinner's prayers in our lifetime. But it is the faith in our heart that saves us, not the prayer that comes across our tongue. If you do not believe the prayer that you're praying, if you do not believe that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, if you do not believe that God has wiped away every sin in your life, I'm sorry, but you will not be saved. But if you believe it, if you have faith to believe, I can promise you, God not only will save you from hell, but he will put you on a path that is so good, so great, and so full of purpose. And this is the worldly purpose, but heavenly purpose. Jesus didn't die for eternal life for us. He died so we can live a power-filled life on this earth. So if that's you tonight, if you're saying, "Minister Jake, I haven't given my life to Jesus. I haven't prayed the sinner's prayer," this is for you. And let me extend it a little bit further. Maybe you have prayed the sinner's prayer, but you've fallen away from God. You're not doing what you know you're called to do. And you want to get right with God tonight, this prayer is for you. And there's a verse that says, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father. So with all eyes open, with peers all around us, on the count of three, if that is you, I want you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. If you want to recommit your life or you want to give your life to Christ for the first time. Ready? One, two, three. I see those hands. I see those hands in the center section. I see those hands over here. I see those hands. You guys can go ahead and put your hands down. Thank you for being bold. Now it's the next step. I'm going to pray this prayer, and I want you guys to repeat me. But like I said, you guys need to believe in your heart that this prayer is real. That this Jesus is real. So here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross in my place for my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my sins and washing me clean. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me a heavenly purpose. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord and my Savior. I surrender my life to you, and I will serve you from this moment on. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give a hand clap to those that love it. We can do better than that, y'all. Let's go.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.